So I wanted to share some things today, and I just really feel strongly in my spirit. You know, I say spirit, you know, I don't want to be, you know, as they say, for those that may not understand what that means, it's in your heart. In my heart, I feel compelled to keep sharing a little bit on our words, on what we say with our mouth. And it's so key to our success. And, you know, you say, well, I've heard that before. Well, you may have heard it before, but it's good to keep hearing sometimes and hearing and hearing and hearing until we get something. Because, you know, we go through life listening to the news and listening to stuff. We listen to our friends. We listen to people we admire. We don't say, well, I heard them already. No, you keep listening to people that you admire. You keep listening to things that kind of tickle your fancy. And you open up your mind and your heart and your thoughts to things that you like. And it influences you. You form opinions. You form ideas and what you think about things. Well, what about this? Let's keep feeding upon this so that we don't become like the world and the way the world thinks, because it's going backwards. And so we need to take time to meditate in God's word, because it has the answer for us. And so I want to take a few moments today. I know we have communion, but I want us to think about something that really was really strong in my heart over the past couple days and strong this morning. And that is that when we became born again, when we accepted Christ into our hearts, the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a brand new person, a new creature in Christ, the King James says, or I'm a new species of being. I'm a brand new person. You know, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he spoke to the Pharisees. He said, It's in John 8. Let's turn over there for a moment. It's in John chapter 8. I believe it's, he was given it to the Pharisees. These are church people. He said, you are from below. I think it's in John 8. What is it, 23. He said, and he said unto them, meaning the Pharisees, he said, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of what? Of this world, I am not of this world. When we became born again, we're not of this world. We have become a brand new person in Christ. And so the scripture is very clear that if Jesus tarries, you know what I mean by that. In other words, if we die and leave this body, we're not from below. We've been born again. We have a brand new spirit. We're from above. We're not of this world. And we need not talk like it. We need not act like it. We need to reflect the one who's from above. And so I just share that it's that in my heart today, we need to remind ourselves of who we are. We're brand new. We've got a brand new person on the inside. And our speech, the words that we speak, reflect that. The words that we speak should be ones of victory, ones of overcoming, ones of what the scripture says in Ephesians, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And so just join with me today. You know, if you came looking for answers today, this is an answer. You know, we are looking for solutions to problems. You know, your spirit is not of this world. Say, I'm not of this world. My spirit is of God. He lives in me. I'm not of this world. So the words that I speak are spirit. Jesus said that in John 6:63. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we are, as the scripture in Genesis chapter 1, or in John 4:24, it said, God is a spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, in verses 26 and 27, we are made in the image and likeness of God. So if God is a spirit and I'm made in his image and likeness, that makes me the real me is not of this world. The real me is a spirit. I live in this body and I have a soul. I have an intellect. But what contacts or connects me with heaven is my spirit. And I'm not of this world. So I'm walking in this world, touching this world, but I'm in connection with heaven. And I'm communicating with heaven by the Holy Ghost who lives in me. So I can think like heaven. I can talk like heaven. I can speak like God and for God. I have, as the scripture says, I can have the wisdom of God and impart that to this world who's walking around trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And he can show us how to help people. Yes. Yes. And to bring the light of the glorious gospel to people. So the answer really for our issues in life, you, me, anybody, the answers are on the inside. The answers to all that we face in life are on the inside. Not somewhere out here. The answers are on the inside. Hallelujah. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of that, that I have the answer. You know, when you walk by faith, you've got to decree what it is you don't see. What is it that you don't see? You don't see the answer. But you've got to speak by faith that I do have the answer. Why do I have the answer? Because the greater one is inside me. He's living in me. He's got the answer. And all I need to do is profess by faith, I have the answer. And by faith, we do what? That faith-filled word does what? Opens up heaven to us, opens up the answer to us. And so we don't have to walk through life defeated. We don't have to. I know you all know this, but it's good because I believe there are some that came in today that are feeling defeated and are looking for answers. But you got the answer.
Yes.
You have
yes.
it. You've got the greater one in you.
Yes.
And he will unfold and reveal the word of God to you, which has the answer. What does it say? The entrance of his word brings light. So God's word has the answer for us. Now, we've shared this. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to share some things from my heart today. Is that all right? First Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. I'm going to read it in the King James and then the Passion Translation. It says, being born again, that means my spirit's been made brand new. Being born again, now what does it say? How? Not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, how? By the word of God. So we've been made brand new by seed, which is the word of God, which is what? Not corruptible. Which what does it say? Which liveth and abideth forever. So let's read this in the Passion Translation. They'll put that up on the screen for you. It says, but through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. Now listen to this. And this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed.
Amen.
My. But will live and grow inside of you forever. Oh, yeah. So the seed of the word of God is eternal.
Yes.
It's not corruptible. And it will live and grow inside of you for how long?
Forever.
So that means that I'm not of this world, because things down here are temporal. So that means I'm eternal. I'm a spirit. I live forever. When I leave this earth, I'm going to my eternal residence. And the seed of the word that was planted in me here will never die. It will continue to grow through eternity. That means that the seed is not exhausted. It will ever expand and will continue to see the depths of the seed that was planted in us. Continual revelation throughout eternity. This is not spooky stuff. This is the word of God. Somebody said, "Woo!" No. We are a spirit that has eternal word living in us that will continue to grow. So what does that mean? That means that you are not lacking answers.
That's right.
Amen.
That means you know what to do.
Yes.
Stop saying, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Stop saying, I don't know what to do.
That's right.
We need to start saying, I know what to do.
Yes.
I know what to do.
Yes.
It may look like and feel like you don't have an answer, but you do have an answer. It's in you. It's in us. What does that mean? That means that the seed, the spoken word, because it was spoken, so it was written. And now it's written to be spoken. right? So we must profess the word of God, which is what Hebrews 10:23 says. Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without what? Wavering. Now, I'm not going to go back over this, but I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to look at something. And this great prayer that Paul prayed, starting in verse 19, if you remember this, the devil has been defeated already. He is our enemy. He is God's enemy. That makes him our enemy. Because God lives in us. So he hates us. He hates who's in us and what we stand for. You know, I remember years ago, you know, maybe you've never had some experiences in life, but I remember when I was a young man in my 20s, and I was home, and I've shared this story before, that we need to know who we are in Christ. And I remember I was home just kind of, I was home reading the Bible is what I was doing. I was on my bed reading the Bible. And at that time, my sister was getting married. And she was going to a bridal shower. And her fiance was home in the house with me, her future husband. And he came in my room and wanted to start talking. So we did. And I said, well, let's go, you know, let's go in the dining room. So we started to talk. And as God is my truth, God is my witness, he jumped up from the table. I didn't expect it. And he got right here. That quick. I mean, he's right here. And he beat his chest and he said, the devil lives in here. And his eyes were bright red. It happened so quick, just like that. It took me, you know, I mean, take anybody by surprise, because there was no visible evidence that he was agitated. Because I was just talking about the Bible. And he was agitated. And that quick, it was as if somebody took a coat and dropped it on me. It happened that quick. I've never experienced anything like that. It dropped quick on me. And up out of my spirit, you couldn't think that fast. If somebody just jumped in your face, you'd be like, it came up from here, from this new man. From this born-again man. Yes, the wisdom of God came up. It came up and it was a sword. That's the best way I could explain it. It came up and I said, just like this, I'm not going to use his name, but I said, I'm not afraid. I used his name. I said, I'm not afraid of demons and devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. Yes. It came up. It just came up and out. And you know what he did? This is what he did. He turned around and walked out of the room, and he wouldn't look at me for 3 days. He was in the house. When I'd walk in a room, he'd turn the other way like this. He'd look. He knew.
Yes.
He knew.
Yes.
He knew who I was.
Yes.
He knew who lived in me.
Yes.
That word came up and stung. You know, as they say, but you couldn't think that up. That wasn't something I thought up. It was Spirit words from the Holy Ghost. Words that came out of my spirit. And so I say the same thing. You might be walking through life not knowing what to do, confronted by stuff. He's got an answer. That's just as powerful, that will cut through the situation in your life. Because people do bad things to people. There's a devil. But we don't have to be subject to or beneath the circumstances. We don't have to. So God has put in us this incorruptible seed, this seed which will live and grow forever and never die. We're brand new persons in Christ. And we need to remember who we are. That when we walk through and your mind is telling you, you're a loser, you're a loser, you're a loser, you're a loser, you need to speak up, because that's your mind, that's your flesh, but your heart, I'm a winner.
Yes.
I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner. I'm an overcomer. Right? I'm not subject to this world, because I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. I am a spirit whose home is in heaven. Excuse me. So the tongue, and I guess what I'm saying is, don't allow your thoughts and attitudes from other people, don't let that form opinions, or don't let that form your words. Your words are formed from where? From heaven. From the inside. Hallelujah. So the tongue has the ability to do what? To destroy you or put you over. Your own tongue. And see, this is why I keep going back to, the devil has no power over you. The only power he has is to deceive you. To deceive you into thinking you're a loser. He can only deceive you, what does that mean? In your thoughts, in your mind, to make you think that you can't make it, to make you think that you're a loser. And then you buy into it, you buy into what society is doing to you, you buy into what people do to you, and yet you are a brand new creature in Christ. You are a spirit that's been born again. And the devil is the god of this world. He is making and trying to deceive people into thinking that God hates them and doesn't love them and doesn't care for them. And so people embrace that thought. This is why we have wars among people and ethnic wars among people, because the devil is what? He has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. There's no love in him. And so he wants people to embrace a thought from below and not a thought from above, which is pure and lovely and of a good report, and it's full of love and mercy. But he wants people to embrace a thought and then do what? Speak it. So this is why we need to watch what we say. This is the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 12. In the New Living Translation, this is verse 33. It says, a tree is identified by its fruit. It says, if a tree is good, its fruit will be good. And that goes with our speech. So if a tree is good, the fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Then as Jesus, you know, he went on and said, you brood of snakes, how could you evil men like you speak what is what? Good and right. For whatever is in your heart does what? Determines what you say. That's why, you know, when we want to look at when you start speaking things, it reflects our heart. Because it's what we've put in it. Right? So if we want to get things changed, we got to change what we put in our heart. And that means change the channel sometimes. Change your friends. Change who you're listening to. Change who you're being influenced by. Because ultimately it'll change what you put in your heart. And then when it goes on, it says, verse 35, a good person produces good things from what? The treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Now, let's look at Matthew 15, verse 11. Matthew 15, verse 11. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation again. It says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. Now listen. You are defiled by the words that do what? Come out of your mouth. That's a big revelation for some folks. Because it's easy to blame other people. It's either easy to blame people for things. But this says here, we're defiled by the words that come out of our mouth. That doesn't mean, just hold steady, that doesn't mean that bad things didn't happen to us. What it means is remembering who we are in Christ and not embracing the bad that has happened to us. What it means is to overcome it with our words and to overcome with what? The love of God. To overcome with the word. Because that is the answer. So we are God's workmanship. You know, Romans 8:16-17 said it's the Spirit of God himself or itself that beareth witness with our spirit that what? We are the children of God. And then it goes on to say, and if children, then heirs of God and what? Joint heirs with Christ. So for us, we need to remember that we are brand new persons. I keep emphasizing that. Because sometimes things that happen to us, as they say, are upfront and personal. I mean, you can feel it, taste it, touch it. And it's personal. But we need to remember who we're fighting. what we're up against. It's not people. It's not circumstances. Jesus was very clear that the words that we speak will either put us over or not. Or just think about Mark 11, 23. You know, we share that quite often. Verse 22 says, have faith in God. And then it goes on to say, and use an example of an obstacle. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and does what? And shall not doubt in his heart, but where? Doubt in your where? Your heart. But believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. You notice it never said that God is going to fix your problem. We have a part to play. Yes, God is the one that moves the mountain. He is the power of God, but we release that power through our words. And we need to remind that. Let's take a look at something here. Proverbs 18:21. In the King James, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. But listen to what the Passion Translation says. It says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. So we need to watch, again, as we say, we need to watch our words, because we will reap the consequences of what we speak. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. Said, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And the New Living Translation says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. I mean, I guess that's pretty plain, right? It says, watch your mouth and your tongue. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. That's good advice. And you will stay out of trouble. How many have been in situations where we didn't keep our mouth shut? Yeah, and we got in trouble. We've all been there. We've all kept our mouth open and kept running it. And we knew we should have kept it closed, but we just had to get in that last word. You know, most husbands and wives know that already. Or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. Or friends. And we let it rip, as they say. I just had to give it my... I just had to say it. No, you didn't. You didn't have to say it. Because sometimes those words can take a lifetime to repair. And you had to let it rip. And sometimes it could take a lifetime to repair some words that have been spoken. So it's better just to keep it, you know, keep it zipped. So the things that we're saying this morning is that God is looking for us to control our speech. I know sometimes, you know, some have gone through some things, and One of the things that I'm aware of is that regardless of the circumstances that we face in life, we need to overcome them with the right words. We can walk through something that's very painful for us with the right words. And what does that mean? That means it doesn't mean that it's not painful, but what it means is that I can walk through it with the right words. I can either be defeated or I can overcome a circumstance with my words. We have an example in our master. He walked through and was crucified, and he did what he continued to do, what his father wanted him to do, right? And to redeem mankind. So he overcame. What did he say? He said, "No man takes my life. I lay down my life of my own will." So we can walk through circumstances that are very painful, and we can choose to walk through it with the right heart and the right words. Yes, we can. So, you know, I like what Mark Hankins shares. He said, "Our celebration is a demonstration of our expectation." So if I'm expecting to go through, then I can celebrate. I can celebrate, and it's a demonstration of my expectation. So those things, again, really, what am I saying this morning? Don't let life and circumstances control your thoughts, your attitudes, and the things that you're facing in life. Every single one of us face things. You know, I was reading something. I'll just share this, take a few moments to do this. And I'll read that. But one of the things, and let's just take a quick look at 2 Corinthians 4:18, familiar scripture. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which what? Are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal." What does that mean? This body that you see is temporal. But this spirit that you don't see is eternal. So, what are we really saying here? With all of the noise that's going on today, you know, Pastor Greg's been teaching on distractions. But you know, all of the noise that we are confronted with and we see and we're experiencing, the devil wants us to do what? Look at the temporal. Be caught up in that noise and that distraction. But he wants us to think about it, embrace it, talk it. And he really is trying to get our speech such that we talk about the problem and not him. Not the eternal word that's in us. Because it will defeat him every time. It'll defeat the circumstance every time. Every time. And we have to keep reminding ourselves as we walk through life that I've got a greater one living on the inside of me that cares for me. He loves me. He hasn't checked out. He's not going to Jamaica. He cares for me. He lives in me. He's in me. And a lot of us, you know, we get our lips running. You know, blah 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 blah. You know, you got somebody close to you, you know, you're gonna, you know, you're yakking. I don't understand this, I don't know what's going on here, blah blah blah. I don't like this. Thank God we have a God that's not put off when we run our mouth. And it's okay, you want to run your mouth to God, that's fine. But isn't he so sweet that after we've got done it all, we get it all out, we get it all out, he sits there and goes, it's okay. It's going to be all right. He's our comforter. He's our helper. So if you need to get it out, but then listen for his answer. Because, you know, a lot of times you're talking so much, you're not listening. We're not listening for the comfort. We're not listening for the comforter. We're not listening to his answer to all of our stuff that's coming out. You know, sometimes, I know for me, you know, you have that quiet place where your mind is not thinking. You know, sometimes for me, it could be just quiet, sitting in a chair. Sometimes, for me, a lot of times, the Holy Ghost has spoken to me in the shower. Because I'm not thinking about it. I'm just enjoying a shower, and I'm just standing there not really thinking about anything. And he got your attention now. He speaks. Wherever that place is, listen to him. Follow the instructions and obey. And when we do, it'll go well with us, won't it? It'll go well. You may not like the answer. I don't like that answer. I don't like that. Well, how's it been going for you up to that point? How's it been going? Sometimes it's good to just say, you know what? What's that commercial? I should have had a V8. I should have listened. Should have listened to the Holy Ghost. I should have listened. So for us, it's listening to him. And when God gets a person who will not embrace the noise of this world, and he gets us to fill our hearts with the incorruptible word of God and get it on our lips, there's nothing that he won't fulfill for us. Because it said he watches what? Over his word to perform it. And again, what am I really saying? I'm a new person. My words dominate. See, remember, what does it say? Death and life is in the power of your tongue. So when I get my heart filled with God's word and I get my mind renewed, so now I see a little clearer and I get what? My mouth filled with the word of God, then it does what? It dominates my circumstances. It begins to dominate this temporal realm, this physical realm that we live in. That's the word of God. That is the word of God. Let me read this. This was some entry in I read this every day. I just thought this was insightful. Again, and part of reading this is to see the power of God's word. This is a story, some have read her stories back in the early 1900s, but the application is still the same. This was a medical doctor. Her name was Lillian B. Yeomans. She was born and raised in Canada, moved to the United States, And then she worked and practiced medicine in New York City. And she got hooked on drugs, stimulants and narcotics. Basically, she became a dope addict. And so medical science gave her up to die. So she got herself right with God, and she began to feed on the Word of God. And she left her medical practice and spent the rest of her life teaching and preaching the Word of God and divine healing. But this was the story. It said Dr. Yeomans and her sister were both doctors and had a beautiful home in Southern California. They actually had a two-story mansion, which they turned into a faith home. They would take patients into their home to get them healed by divine power, not by medicine. They could only handle four patients at a time because Dr. Yeoman traveled and taught most of the time. Her sister was the one who took care of the patients. What did they do to get people healed? Glad you asked. Said they simply taught them from the Word of God. See, laying on of hands is one way. The gifts of the Spirit is one way. But the primary way is the Word of God. So this goes on here, and it said, it wasn't the Holy Ghost initiating anything, such as a gift of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. People were healed by initiating their own healing on the basis of their faith in the Word of God. They initiated it. In Dr. Yeoman's day, tuberculosis was the number two killer in America. As soon as a patient was healed, the next applicant would be notified to come in as a patient. If he or she hadn't already died, because these people were all terminal. One particular woman who had tuberculosis was brought in and carried to an upstairs bedroom. Dr. Yeoman sat down by her bedside and said to her, just fold your hands, close your eyes, and lie there, relax and listen. Then she read to her from the Bible. Dr. Yeomans had every scripture on the subject of divine healing marked in her Bible. Now listen to this. For 2 hours, she sat next to this woman who had tuberculosis and read those healing scriptures to her. Then at the end, she read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Galatians chapter 3. She read them over and over again. Then she just read Deuteronomy 28:61. And Galatians 3:13. Dr. Yeomans told the woman, every waking moment, say, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, sickness and disease is a curse of the law. Tuberculosis is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have TB. Now, listen to what happened. This woman said, but I don't understand it. Dr. Yeoman said, that's all right. You just say what I told you to say. The woman began saying, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, kind of sounds like some of what we do, right? TB is a curse of the law, but according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have TB. The next morning, Dr. Yeomans and her sister fed their patients breakfast. Then Dr. Yeomans asked this particular woman if she had been saying what she told her to say. She said, oh, it seemed like I didn't sleep but 10 minutes last night. I must have said it 10,000 times. But it doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. I don't understand it. That's not faith, is it? But listen to the story. Dr. Yeoman says, "That's all right, honey. You just keep saying it over and over again, every waking moment. Never give up. Never give up." If people would work at receiving divine healing like they ought to, it would work for them. But so many times they only do it half-heartedly and then go on thinking about something else. In that case, it won't work for them. They have to get down to business. Well, on the third day, Dr. Yeomans went to this woman's room again and read scriptures on the subject of healing to her for a solid hour. Then Dr. Yeoman said, "Are you still saying what I told you to say?" She said, "Oh, yes, but it still doesn't mean a thing in the world to me. I'm not getting anything out of it." Dr. Yeomans again told her to just keep saying it. At about 11 a.m. that same day, Dr. Yeomans and her sister were downstairs washing the breakfast dishes when they heard somebody upstairs shouting. They heard running footsteps, so they rushed out into the hallway. And there was this woman who had come in only 2 days before. She was rushing down the stairway yelling, "Dr. Yeomans, did you know I no longer have TB? "Yes," she said, "I've been trying to tell you that for 3 days." You see, it got down in her spirit, that new man. It got down in her spirit. That's when God's word works for you. God's word never fails. That woman initiated her own healing. So how, for 3 days, she said, "I'm not getting anything out of this." But she kept saying it. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. That works in the area of healing the same way it works in the area of love, the same way it works in the area of finances. We are a new man. We're a new person. And we have within us the power of heaven at our disposal. And if we would just get that seed, that incorruptible seed, down in here and keep watering it, keep watering it, keep watering it, an explosion will take place. An explosion of the Word of God. What does that mean? That means when you don't feel like walking love, you just keep saying, "You know, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in love." And what happens? There's a harvest. There's a harvest. Same thing in the area of finances. You may not have the money that you desire. Keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing, keep saying. The seed that I've sown shall produce an abundant harvest in my life. My bank accounts are full. Everything I set my hands to is blessed and prosperous. You know, everybody may be against you, but keep speaking the word of God. Don't let go of the word of God. If we can get a hold of this, there isn't one obstacle that the devil will put up in your life that you cannot overcome. Just keep speaking the word of God. I am a spirit. I'm a brand new person. I'm not from beneath. I'm not subject to the constraints of this world. I'm an overcomer. I'm a winner. Hallelujah. So if we'll just embrace the word of God, it will put us over every single time. Every time. Every time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it's interesting Most people, we all want results. Everybody does. But it's interesting, you know, when you hear different ministers that have worked in different settings, healing school and different things, you know, you hear stories. Everybody wants everything quick. They want it yesterday. And they don't want to have to put much effort in. But we're going to have to overcome, we are going to have to plant seed and we're going to have to water it. That's what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. He said, the reason people's faith doesn't work to the degree that it should is they reject the watering process. What does that mean? I got to keep saying it. I got to keep speaking it. I got to keep watering the seed with my words. And if I keep doing that and I don't let up, I'm going to overcome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I hope you're getting something from this.
Yes,
don't let go. I don't care what it feels like. Every thought that's stacked up in your mind, you know what? You need to just say, ha, ha, ha. I'm a winner. I'm an overcomer. I've overcome through the blood of Jesus and the words that come out of my mouth. He's defeated, not you. The devil's defeated, not you. He wants you to think you're defeated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. One thing the Lord spoke to me years ago hasn't changed. You know, when God speaks something, it's like His word. He's not going to change. The principle, the process, we just have to do what? Decide to do it. Something He spoke to me years ago, He said, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. Because I was wondering why I wasn't seeing the increase of finances in my life. I wasn't speaking. I wasn't saying. I wasn't releasing words. But I was in the area of healing every chance I could get. I spoke words. I released words of faith in the area of healing. But I wasn't doing that in the area of finances. And that's when He gave me that wisdom. He said, if you'll do the same thing here like you're doing over here, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So whatever area you find that you're struggling in, take the word of God and water it. Keep watering 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 it. And you're gonna come out on top. Amen.
Amen.
Amen goes for me.
Amen.
Amen goes for all of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's you know, the victory that we're looking for is where? Coming out of your mouth. Victory speech. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that it's full of life, full of power. And we thank You for the word that's planted in our hearts. Thank You for the seed that's in our hearts. Thank You that it liveth and abideth forever. Thank You that it will never die. And so, Father, we thank you. And we thank you that we are overcomers in this life by your word and by your spirit, and by the blood. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, before we receive communion, I really want to just extend for those that may be here today and don't know Christ as their Savior, and maybe you're here and maybe life is such that you need a change. You're looking for a change. You desire a change. Well, here's the change. Change who you serve. Ask heaven into your heart. Ask the Holy Ghost to come in. Take up residence. Receive him as your Savior. And one of the things it says that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, says we shall be saved, we'll be born again. That's our first step in overcoming. It's eternal redemption. So let's say this simple prayer. If you desire to receive Christ, maybe you're watching online, maybe you never made that profession of faith, most of us have, but there may be someone, one person, or two. So let's say this, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to receive your Son as my Savior. I believe that he is the Christ. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I receive him now as my Savior, as my Lord, in Jesus' name. And I will serve him all of my days in Jesus' name. If you made that simple prayer and asked Jesus to come into your heart, you acknowledged that he is the Christ. You acknowledged with your heart and your mouth that God raised him from the dead. Well, if you did that, then you've become a brand new person in Christ. You became born again. So if you're here today, we have some information as to who you've become in Christ. And we'd like to give that to you if you desire that. And we rejoice if that's your case, if that's your situation. And we thank God for you.